Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have gathered in your house to hear your holy word. Sanctify us through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. In Christ Jesus, the fellow redeemed, grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, through the blood of the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. What will it take to make you happy? Better grades? Simply that the semester is over? That you have better health? Better relationships? More money? The security of knowing that you'll have a job? What will make you happy? If we're honest, we're all searching for happiness. No one wants to walk around life being miserable all the time. We want to feel good about ourselves and we want to be happy. What will make you happy? The text before us this morning is the start of Jesus' probably most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. We read in Matthew chapter 5, beginning with the first verse. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." These words of Jesus are quoted, especially in the early church, more than any other part of the New Testament. In fact, today, even those who aren't Christian think so highly of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that they will refer to it and hold Jesus up as a great teacher, but a great moral teacher. Many people approach the Sermon on the Mount as Jesus laying out how a Christian is to live. And if you take that approach with these words before us, you're going to try and seek happiness by being what is described in what we call the Beatitudes. If only I can be poor in spirit. If only I can be meek. If only I can chase after righteousness. If I just become more of a peacemaker, then I'll be happy. But if we look at these Beatitudes as simply moral teachings, how we are to live, we will never find happiness. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Whether you realize it or not, that's you. And that's everyone around you. That's everyone in the world. We have, by nature, a desire to be righteous. Now, if you were to look at all of the world's false religions, they are all trying to satisfy this desire. And they seek the hunger or the food that they desire through either actions, living a certain way, doing certain activities, maybe at special times, or through knowledge, knowing special things that are hidden from those who are still hungering and thirsting. But righteousness that satisfied is to be, that satisfies, is to be sought through our actions. We will always be left hungering and thirsting because we know we are not who we want to be and we are not what we should be. Day after day, we disappoint ourselves and we disappoint those around us. We have in our mind a standard that we would like to reach, but we can't meet it. Even the Apostle Paul said, I know that nothing good lives in me, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. If you are hungering and thirsting for righteousness and seeking to gain it in yourself, you will always be hungry and thirsty. Rather than seeing these Beatitudes as what we have to fight for and struggle for, you should see that these Beatitudes are really a statement of what you are by faith. By faith, we see that we are poor and miserable spiritually. That we have disappointed God day after day by how we have lived. We mourn over our sins and our transgressions. We see that we lack the righteousness that we desire and that God demands. But ours is the kingdom. We are comforted, we are satisfied and fed richly because of Jesus. That righteousness that you're chasing after, Jesus has for you. God sent him to live a perfect life in your place so that day after day as you disappoint yourself, you would have someone to look to, someone outside of yourself that can provide the righteousness that you long for. So he sent Jesus to live under the law in your place. And wherever you have fallen short, Jesus has perfected it. But you are credited with the righteousness of Jesus' perfect life, so that your longing for righteousness is fully satisfied, but only in him. And the sadness that you feel over the guilt of your sins, Jesus took that way away by his suffering and death on the cross. So that now he wants you to be comforted. He actually wants your days to be full of happiness. Because you are forgiven. Jesus suffered the full payment of all your sins. There is to be no more sadness, No more guilt, no more worry over the consequence of your sins, because Jesus has taken them all away. And because Jesus has lived and died for you, the kingdom of God is yours. Heaven itself is yours. You get to live with that assurance and that promise. And that's enough to make a person happy. Regardless of what the world throws at you, regardless of the difficulties and struggles that God may allow to touch you, you can be happy because Jesus has blessed you. Your sins are forgiven. Heaven is yours. So as you chase after happiness in this life, don't forget where it is really found. It's not in grades or friends, money or occupation. It's in the Christ. Blessed are all who take refuge in Him. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You have come to us through Your Word and fed our souls. As we look at our lives and we see how much unrighteousness is there, how much guilt, and how much for us to be sorry over, please grant us Your Spirit that we may trust that in You we have a perfect life, that You lived for us to satisfy our desire for righteousness under God's law, that You also died for us to take away our guilt so that we may be happy in this life. We pray that You would continue to come to us with Your grace day after day, so that despite what trials life may give us, we would be happy in Your will and in Your love. We pray that You would strengthen us to these ends so that one day we are finally with You in heaven. We ask it in Your name. Amen. Please stand for the hymn.